Yes, Zion Adoration, Thursday, 21st of February, Rabbi Yehoshua Frankel, Pitamek Torahs Explained. In half an hour.
This seems to be a schuss for my grandfather Yitzchak Ben Yeshayo. I'd like to thank firstly Dudi for the wonderful shiurim and for the olam, the mechazik me every morning. It's nice to be able to actually give back after the many years of shiurim. This week's parasha is Kisisa. Kisisa is Rosh Bnei Yisrael. And coming up to Parsha Shkolim 2. So Rashi and Tanis describes what happens in Yerushalayim this time of year. The money changers had to be open and ready for business on the 25th, by the 25th of Adar, which is as Mama Sugal. The Beit HaKabayis had a deadline to keep to every year by Nissan. They needed to have collected all the Truma Chadosha through which they needed to buy the Karbonis. The Karbonis of the whole Karbonis Sibu and the Ketoris of the whole year to come had to be bought from the Truma Chadosha, which is the Shkolim that we collect at this time of the year. So the money changers were open by the 25th of Adar, and they swathes of Klal Yisrael were coming in from all directions. First, the Yoshev Eretz Yisrael would come. They would change their money. The money changers had piles of chatzi shekels to give out. Then had the second wave of Klal Yisrael coming in from Amoin and from Moav. This is the Zman Bayis Sheni. And finally, from Bava and from further afield, all crowding into Yerushalayim and giving their Maaseh Shekel up towards the up-and-coming Yom Tov of Pesach, which is on the horizon. 25th of Adar was actually a special day. That was the day of the first day of the Bria, and the Karbonis was chus of every day of the maintenance of the oil of the world. So the 25th of Adar is an opportune date to have all the finance of these Karbonis and of therefore the world in place. Let's park this and start learning about the Pitam Ketoris. I want to learn through the Shachris Ketoris Nusach, which we've printed out, and you've got the sheets in front of you, hopefully, and just to get the Poshe Pshat of what the less obvious words mean. As an introduction, I saw in a sefer called Yagdil Torah, it quotes the Zohar Chodosh, and it says the following, Dovazer hevi bruskusha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a covenant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. Shekol mi shemisboinin v'koira, b'kol yoy ma'asi Ketoris. Anyone who concentrates and reads the Maaseh Ketoris every day, Yeshamer will be protected, Mekol Mini Keshufim Shiesh Ba'olam. He'll get a protection from the Keshuf which is in the world, maybe not so much nowadays, and Mekol Mini Pegoim Roim, all the from terrible accidents, Mekol Mini Huhurim Roim, from bad thoughts, Medinim Koshim Roim, from hard court cases, from bad court cases, Mimoves, from death, Velo Yenazik Kol Oseyom, he won't have any damage or any accident or incident pain that day, kiven shlo yuchlu hasitra achra lishloit alav, because the sitra achra will have no power over him. The ulam, but l'schus l'zeh tzorech shi'chavein ha'odom hated by mirs pitam ketoris. In order to get this schus, a person has to have good concentration when saying the pitam ketoris. So where do we see this power of the pitam ketoris reveal itself? The Maisa, everyone knows, with Ahar and the Machtas, following Magetha, he went and he divided between the Klal Yisrael who were dying and Klal Yisrael who stayed alive, and he saved Klal Yisrael, stopped the Magetha, is well known. But the Zohar Kodesh says something, a very interesting story in Vayikra Rabbah. He says, "Muvan Maisa, Rabbi Acha, Shaholach leKfar Tarsha." Rabbi Acha came to Kfar Tarsha. As he came, an epidemic struck up in the town, and it lasted 7 consecutive days, and it was going and getting worse. The people didn't know what to do, and they realized they had an odd and godl in their midst. let's go ask the Adam Gadol. They went and they approached Ravach and he said, let's go to Shul, let's daven. But on the way, more people were, as they passed, people came up to him and said, oh, do you know, this person died, this person's just fallen ill. So he said, now's not the time to go daven in a shul. We need to do something. We need to do something more than that. He said to the townspeople, "Call 40, your 40 tzaddikim, your greater people, and let's divide up 10 to the north of the town, 10 to the south, 10 to the west, 10 to the east, in all directions. The 10 group of 10 in each of the four directions. Go daven and say the Pitam Akteris." So that's what they did. They said Pitam Akteris three times in each direction. And at the end, they went round all the houses where people were dying, and they said the Mice of Ahara, V'yema Moshe Aharin, Kach l'cho kach es amachte, v'sen ale eish, v'yikach Aharin, v'yamoid ben amesim, ben achayim, v'ta'oter magefa. So this is what they said, they went round all the cholim, and the magefa stopped. They heard a bus call then saying to the mazikim at the time, Ha'otru amala, the al Torah dilemata. You mazikim have no more any right. You have no power to go down to this city. Why? L'fisha din shamala eino sholet b'irazos. The din mala no longer has any power in that town. Kiven shem yodim levatlu. They know the secret in the vatl, the power of the mazikim. And after that, Rav Acha fell ill. They had the Bez and Shemayla tainas on him. You very nice. You stopped the Magefa. It was there for a reason. This city needed to do tshuva, and you stopped it. And he fell ill. It wasn't until he encouraged the city and was ma'ir the city to do tshuva, and he became better. So that's the introduction to the importance of Pitam Akteris. Let's go through on our sheets. I've numbered the sheet, listing out various words and phrases which I found difficult, and Mr. Shem will understand them. We'll be able to, hopefully through this, when we do say Pitam Akteris, Mechavan, and help our Kavada. Due to time constraints, I'm going to move straight to number 2, which is the top of page 19. Tana Rabbanon, Pitam Akteris Ketzad. How did they blend the Akteris? Shloish Meis V'Shishim Ushmoin Monim Oyibah. There are 368 monim. A monad, just to describe to you. Oh, well, let's carry on, actually. Let's read on a little bit more. Shloish meis v'shishim v'chamisha kimenin yemois hachama. 365 neged the days of a solar year. Monah l'chol yon, because a monah was offered up every day. Pras b'shachris u'pras bin abayim. A shloisha monim yisairim, and the three extra were added to the 365, shemehem machnis kohen gadol leichof nabi yom kippurim. Those were used on Yom Kippur, where the kohen gadol took both hands, cupped his hands, took out a bit of the a load of ketores, and offered it in front of the in the kodesh kedoshim. So you can imagine the kohen gadol was cupping his hands. Rabbeinu Gershom and Tosfos have a machlokas about exactly how much of a mona that consisted, his handful. Was it a, Tosfos says it was a fifth, and Rabbeinu Gershom says it was a half. But that was just take Tosfos' example, it was a fifth. So a mona is five times that amount. And there are 365 mona, right? So that's five times 365 is something around 1,600 handfuls. That's a big amount. So the question I have is, 365 days of the year, that's very nice. One problem, we don't use the solar calendar. Since when did Klal Yisrael, since when did the Torah go by the solar calendar? We use a lunar calendar, and it creates a problem, because the lunar calendar is 11 days shorter than the solar calendar. So if this is what they prepared 368 every year. You are left every year with 11 extra mona. What do they do with that? And the problem, you can't just say they use it for the next year, because we just learned that you cannot use the better kabbayas. They had a mitzvah to use a truma chadosha. You could not use money or ketores prepared from the previous year. It had to be bought from the, it had to be financed from this year's finance. So you couldn't use the 11 mona for the following. What did they do? So they had a trick with the Beis Avtinus. The Avtinus family were a famous family of Kohanim who were involved in the preparation of the Ketores. It was their mitzvah, and they knew the secret of preparing the Ketores. And through a series of transactions, which is, time is too short to explain, the Beis Avtinus bought the excess Ketores, and with the Truma Chadasha off the Bedek Abayas, of the Gizbah, and the Truma Chadasha, and then the Gizbah brought back their Ketores with the Truma Chadasha. So therefore the 11 was Kodosh. But you had a problem, because every year these 11 were adding up. So the first year you had 11, second year you had 22, come the third year you had 33. What were they going to do with this? It was still excess. So Chazal created a 19-year cycle, where 7 out of the 19 years we make a Shana Mu'baris, this year being one. So we add the Adar Sheni. So that's an average, 7 out of 19, or 7 times 3 is 21. So it's roughly every third year they had this. They added on average another Adar. So when you had the 33 extra come the third year, well, on average that 33 needed to be used up for the extra month. So So that's how the lunar and solar system line up with the
Adar Sheni was.
Adar Sheni was. Sure. Yes, but they didn't necessarily have the. Well, they fixed the calendar. We couldn't fix the calendar, but they might have changed the date. They might have done every 5-6 years. But on average, it was one in every 3rd year. So the problem didn't arise. You didn't have excess Ketores at the end of the 19 years. Let's continue with the Nusach here. Let's go to point 7. So they manufactured the Ketores. What did they do? On Yom Kippur they machzir le machteshes be'er v'yom kippurim v'sheichak an yofi yofi k'tei sheidak v'en adaka v'achad asor simonim hoyibo. There were 11 simonim. There were 11 ingredients and spices. V'elu hein. And the Pesach Ketores list them out. Atzri, tzipurim, chelbana. A chelbana was an interesting spice, because it actually was foul smelling.
Yes.
Why would they have used a foul smelling spice in the Ketores? Ketores is supposed to be a beautiful smell. So the Gemara in Croesus explains, Omar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Kol Tanis she'ein bo mepoishe Yisrael ein etanis. So any tanis which doesn't have poishe Yisrael, we don't include the poishe Yisrael, and it's not a tanis. And the tefillis are not tefillis. So we see the effect. We say ki chol. So the question is, okay, fine. We learn from the Ketores we have to add into our mix things which are not necessarily nice. And the same thing with our tefillis. You've got to bring in our wayward brothers. Do we bring in everybody? Surely at the end of the Pitim Ketores we say ki chol dvash v'chol mini sa'or lo yisaktiu. You can't go and just invite anybody. You know, we're restricted. So I'd like to bring you back to the parsha, the Pasuk in this week's parsha, which is at the beginning of the Ketores we say every morning, and it says, "V'yomer Hashem Moshe kach lecha samim not of shcheles v'chelbana samim levoin ezakabad v'bevad yihye." The Torah doesn't actually tell us there are 11 spices, and it doesn't actually tell us which spices to use. So how do we know what to use? The Torah only lists 4 of them. It says, Samim, take Samim, kach lecha Samim. Well, minimum Samim is 2. So let's do the count first. The minimum Samim is 2. Notov, Shcheles, v'chelbana, that's 3 spices. Together, that's 5. Then it says Samim again. It's a klal. It brings in Samim, which is just spices. So minimum, so we do the calculation. We've got 5 already. Samim is times that by 2. That gets 10. Ulevoin azaka. And then you add in Levoin Zaka, which is frankincense. Together, there are 11. So the Torah, the Chazal learned from this, there are 11 spices. It's actually a halacha, not a halacha, it's a nemar l'Moshe m'Sinai. Moshe, there's a hand down from Moshe from Sinai. Now how do you know which samim to use? So it's a klal of pragmaras increases, vovam. The base says it's a klal of prata klal. You start the word samim, that's a klal. We finish the word samim, and that's a prat. And in between, we say, Notov Shcheles v'chelbana. Now, the common denominator of these spices were that they, when burnt, they rise. So, we say, Klal prat a klal, Ein b'prat, Ein b'klal, Ela mash b'prat. We can only include similar spices. They all have to rise. And therefore, the list that we've got in the Pitim Ketores are all spices that rise. In fact, Rashi says you've got to take any spice that rises. Tosafot says there are any 11 spices that rise. These ones are the only ones that rise, the ones we list in the Pitim Ketores. So we come back to our question. Chelbana was an interesting, yes, it was a foul-smelling spice, But the Pratcha boy was, it rose. And that is what we need to look for when we invite everybody into our shuls and everybody into our tefillin, include everybody. Yes, you can invite anybody, but they need to have their heart in the right direction. They want to rise up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's a vote from myself. I haven't found it anywhere, so I hope that's right.
We heard it here first.
Excuse me?
Not of
Shkeles. Not of was the sap. When there was a certain tree, that they cut the tree in half, and the stump that was left in the ground, sap rose to the top, and they siphoned off that stuff. That is one of the sanim. It's actually not of its translation. Their translation. This is an Aramaic translation of the first spice in the Notov is Brudadam. That's three. Yeah, it's the translation.
Shkeles is
a root, which is the Saporin. Saporin, why is it called Saporin? Saporin looks as a nail. The root was had a very smooth consistency, and that's why it's called Saporin. Okay. So the comparison of Karbonos to Tefillah is strong. I saw in Sefer Migdal Torah, Chassidisha Parsha Likud, that the Baal Shem Tov references the famous pasuk that says, Kesheshanim ben hachoichim, to the Chazan, who's davening on behalf of the Klal. The Chazan is the Shoshana, he's the rose. And his job is to ma'or the Sibyl and collect the Sibyl with him and bring us up to Hashem, bring our tefillahs up to Hashem. But he's held back by the choichim behind him. The choichim are thorns. And those refer to the cloud behind him, where if they're machshavas, azoris, they're not concentrating properly, they don't have the right kavana, it holds him back and the tefillah can't go up, it's just being held back. The Gemara in Yuma says that when a Yid would arrive in the Beis HaMikdash to bring a korban, he would stand and watch in the Azara, and the Kohen, who was appointed to be makriv his korban, would go up and he'd be oisuk, and he'd bring up the korbanos on the Mizbeach, but he'd be held back. There was an electric connection between him and the Yid, whose korban it was, and he could feel, he could sense the machshav of Zoris, know what the Yid was thinking, but he could just sense that this Yid was not with him. And at that time, he had motioned to the Levim, be ma'ira harder, sing harder, be mezama, and be ma'ira this Yid, and through that, the tefillah, the korban would work. Again, it's my analogy, so forgive me if this is wrong, but I think it's quite similar to our Nusach tefillah. We start with the korbanos, with the kohens going up, but we need afterwards the Pesukah de Zimra. We need to ma'ir ourselves. We don't have the Levim nowadays. Our tefillah is b'makom, the karbonos. But we need to ma'ir ourselves after bringing those karbonos, to be ma'ir ourselves, and then only after that we can be davened properly in the Shemoneh Esrei. Let's carry on. So, at the end, if you see, there are actually 11 spices here, but the list continues. Because it says, if you look at line 16, I think, if I can read it properly, 11, V'kinomoin tisha, and then it carries on. Boris, Karshino, Tisha Kabin, Yin, Kefrisen, the art scrolls, numbers are sort of run out. So is this a trick? We're just saying there are 11, but actually more? No. The Seder of the Pitta Makhtoris lists the actual first 11 spices. The rest, the Boris Karshino, the Yin Kafrisin, these were cleaning agents and processing agents to process the Tzipurin spice. The Tzipurin spice needed to be cleaned down. So the Pitta Makhtoris tells you how you do this. It says, Boris Karshino, Tisha Kabin. You use 9 kav of Boris Karshino. Yein kafrisin, sin tzlosa and kabin tzlosa. You need 3 saw and a kav of 3 as well, of yein kafrisin. And I'm not sure why, and I don't have an answer for this, but the Pitam Kateri is asking, what happens if you don't have yein kafrisin? I don't know why I didn't ask that. What happens if you don't have any spices? Chazal doesn't really go into what happens if you don't have something else, you just get it. But if they didn't have yein kafrisin, it says maybe chama chavarian atik and melech stomach rover combine chama chavarian, which is a very harsh, strong wine, with melech stomach, this sedamite salt, and that will take the place of the yein kafrisin. So these are not actual ingredients in the ketores, they're just processing of the saponin. Finally, the last one is Maale Oshan. It was a special herb. I don't know if it was, maybe not a sum. It might not have been a spice. I don't know the difference between a spice and a herb. But Chazal tell us as well in the Gemara that Maale Oshan was a kol shehu, it was a small amount. It was such a small amount that it wasn't listed in the 11 spices. Maale Oshan, I'll come to that in a minute. I wanted to tell you about the Melach Stoimis at the moment. So there's a three-way machlokas. What is Melach Stoimis? When you read it, I always thought Melach Stoimis is Lloyd's wife. She was a pillar of salt. Actually, there's Das Yochid. All the Rishonim don't agree with that. Melach Stoimis, they say, is when Hashem overturned Stoim, he rained down Gofris for Eish. And there was a salt in the Gofris and Eish. Some of it got mixed up in the seas of the world, and some of it stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a machlokas. Where did it come from? Was it the sea, or was it this? Was it rocks? The rock salt left from this gofres for Eish. But the Melach Stoimis had a what was the purpose of bringing Melach anyway? Every alkol korban says alkol korbanecha takrav Melach. It's pasuk in Vayikra, parik beis, pasuk yud gimel. As the whole pasuk says, "V'loy sashbis melach brisa lekecha ma'al min chisecha." You're not allowed to not have salt on your menachas. Al kol korbanecha takriv melach. On all your korbanos, you makriv salt. So, what is a special bris? It calls it a bris, brisa lekecha. So, the world is a funny place because we have the world was created in midas harachmim and midas hadin. How can we have a world which is Rachmim and Din? It doesn't even make sense. How can you have Rachmim and Din at the same time? But this is a consistently there every second of the world. And in fact, actually, I'd be scared to step outside my front door in the morning if we didn't have Midas Ad-Din. How do I know this? Midas Ad-Din. How do I know that the fellow who just killed someone down the road, Hashem had Rachmim maybe on him, and he's going to come and step out of my house, he's going to kill me as well. Because he had Rachmim. So I need Midas Ad-Din. It's scary. And I need Midas Rachamim as well, because for the same reason, that's obvious. So we live in this world where we appreciate the meaning of having Din and Rachamim together, but we don't understand that either. It's a contradiction. It doesn't make sense to us. Salt is the same. Where does salt come from? Salt comes from the oceans of the world. It comes from water. But at the same time, it needs to be burnt off. You need to heat the water up and let the water evaporate, and then you get the salt. So salt has a quality of fire and water in one. It's also, the world needs the water to function. You need the water to irrigate our fields. But at the same time, use that salt from that water and put it over the fields, and you'll kill the field off. So it's also a stirum in a bay. Doesn't make sense. Let's go back from what we said at the beginning of the shir, that the korbanos are the everyday, definitely bizman, beis migdol, probably now as well, that we say the korbanos in the morning. The world is mekayim through korbanos. So Hashem is showing us, I'll make a bris with you, mankind. You might be scared that you can't create Midas Adin and Midas Rachman together. It doesn't make sense to you, but you can't live without it. Don't worry. I'm making a bris. I'll never, never stop this Midas Adin, Midas Rachman. And the way of showing that is every day as well, we're going to put salt on on the carbonus that Makai in the world. So we'll address the Maale Oshan the day of here. So the Maale Oshan was a special plant. It was known only to the Beis Haftinah's family, and it had a special effect of gathering the smoke that did rise naturally from the Ketores. We said that's the prat, they were all, the klal, prat klal, told us the incenses had to rise. But the Maale Oshan could gather that smoke into a single funnel. The Torah calls it a muckle, it's a stick. And it had this, that went straight up, like a straight line. There is shown to discuss whether the Maale Oshan was an integral component of the Ketores, or perhaps not. And it proves, it brings some proofs from the following Maisa. So the Beis Haftinah's family were a special family of Kohanim. It was their job, as we said, to prepare the Ketores. Only they knew the secret of the Ketores. In fact, Chachomim, I think it was must have been his mum, by Shaney. They came to the Beis Avtinas family and said, look, you've got to tell us the ingredients of the ketores. You can't keep this to yourself. What happens if you're not around? It's, you know, we need a contingency plan just in case you can't do it. Someone else should know it. And they refused to divulge it. So Chachamim went to the Chachamim, it's a bit of a chutzpah, a slap on the face of Chachamim. The Chachamim approached the Chachmi Alexandria, the perfumeries and the specialists of Chachamim in Egypt, Alexandria, and asked them to compose the composition and to discover it and prepare the ketores. And they tried, and they were able to prepare the ketores, and it did rise, but what they could not do was get it to rise in this plume, this stick. Later on, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, shortly after that, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was walking in the Shuk, and he saw an old man, and he was holding a scroll. And he said to him, excuse me, sir, who are you? And what is the scroll that you're holding? So the Zaken said, who am I? I'm an old man, and I'm from the base of Tina's family. And this scroll? Well, this scroll is the secret recipe of the hand-me-down. I'm the sole bearer of the secret of the ingredients of the ketores. So Yechim Nuri said, let me see it. So the Zaken answered, so long as my base Abba was around, we wouldn't hand it to anyone. But now, here, take it. So the Mepharshim explained that the Zaken felt that there was no one trustworthy with integrity within the Beis Avtinas, his family, the family that was currently around at that time, to entrust this secret recipe to, and he was getting old. So he preferred to give it to to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, trusted him, and it went out of the Beis Avtinas family. When Rabbi Akiva heard this story, he exclaimed, wow, two things this proves. Firstly, the Beis Avtinas were heavily criticized for not divulging it. In fact, actually, when they saw that Chachamim had failed in their mission to try and do the ketores their way, they doubled their fees. And they were heavily criticized about it. And they were heavily criticized for, you know, trying to bring up their covert, you know, just to, you know, keep it away from everybody. It's only for us. We're special. So Rabbi Akiva, when he heard the story, said, this proves once and for all that the Beis Avtinas family had earnest and upright integrity in refusing to reveal the ketores recipe, so that their Masorah was handed down eventually to this Zaken, who was taught by his father that it was so important, this recipe, not for the family, but for the base image of Kavod HaKadosh Baruch itself, that generated this response from the Zaken to hand it over to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to protect and not keep it within a family. Another thing we learn from this story, said Rabbi Akiva, is that we should know that when we go out and we make a panosa, no one can step in our panosa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has dedicated to us. And you see this from the Beis Avtinas family. They had the institution of Chachamim, very powerful institution, and they couldn't budge the Beis Avtinas from their panosa.
Josh, can I ask one question? Sorry, I don't know if you can count this. I've had an idea that some people don't say it because it's not good if you miss it from 1 hour.
Yes. Chichas achas mekol samaneh chayv misa. In fact, it's getting a bit late, but it's a beautiful thought, this. It's important to understand. Thank you for raising it. We say, I've written, it's going to be difficult for you to find, but I've written number 13 on the sheet in various places. Let's go to the bottom line in the first sheet that I've given you. So Tony Rabban Osanoma, Kushu Shoichik, Omo Hodik, Heitik, Heitik Hodik, Mipnei Shakol, Yofa, Lebesomen. Carries on, Pimele Chatzoin, Kshera. If they blended half the measure, half of the 365, yeah, or half of the 368, that was allowed. And actually, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it's also, you can't do it. Then we carry on to the next sheet towards the end of the Ketores. It says, Tani bar kapora oima achas l'shishim, oi l'shimon shona hoisavosh ha-shiram l'chassoyim. Once in every 60 or 70 years, they bought half the measure of Ketores. So what is going on here? Let's give some explanation. So, the Beloi Chofna, besides, we've dealt with the excess 11 of Monet that arose every year because it was cancelled out over a 19-year period through the Shonam Oberosis. But what about the extra three that the that was dedicated to the Kohen to take his Melech Hofna from? What did they do with that? They also couldn't use that. They gathered up as well. So how much was left when the Kohen took a Melech Hofna? So there's Machlokes, Rashi, and Tosfos, and Rabbeinu Gershom. Some say it's 2.5, some say it was 2.8 money was left, right? Now in 72 years, if you calculate the 2.8, let's take 2.5 is easier. So 2.5 times 70, Graham, is
175.
175. So 175 plus 72 years. So you add another two, and you get 180, right? That is the amount of Ketores that filled up after 72 years, got to 180 level in the barrel. That's halfway. That's half the 368. So the first time that the Kohanim, or the Gizbar, could use this Ketores and use it up, not have a problem of it gathering, was at 70 to 72 years. Yeah? Because then they could be mafatim, they could blend another half. Rabbi Rim Gamliel and Rabbi said, you're not allowed to. So the first opportunity they had to use this Ketores was after 60 or 70 years. The question is, what do you mean? It's either 60 or 70. When we did the calculation, it kind of worked out 70. The minutiae is calculated for it. It kind of worked out 70. So where do you get 60 from? It can't be. So the answer is, Tosfos in Shavuos, Yud Amud Beis, a fantastic answer, that, like we said before, that the Shana... Nowadays, we have the Chachomim told us exactly when we introduce a Shonam Oberos. But in those days, they decided, the Chachomim could decide whenever. So if year 58, 59, and 60 were Shonam Pshuta, he had an, although 60 times 2.5 gets you to 150, right? You still have your barrel's not half full yet. We need to get to 180. These are an extra 30. We need an extra 30. So you have an extra 30 because the son of Shutta, 3 years in a row, would get you an extra 30. It says, Achas Shishim, Oilishim Rishonah. Those were the dates where you could use your Chatzon. Can I just explain Mirag line before we finish? I know we're running over time for it. Such a beautiful thing. So the Mirag line, who would think of using Mirag line? So what is Mirag line? So there's a three-way machlokes. Tosis says pshuta, it's miraglan. Why would you use that? But we answered this up already. It comes in the list of Boris Karshina, all the cleaning agents. So these are, you're already using Boris Karshina as a toxic mix. You have this very strong wine. We have this melach sedoimus. So miraglan makes sense. It could be a cleaning agent. that's it as Tosfos. The shit Megabat says that miraglan is that's the name of a plant. And finally, a shitter, the hell, the Meira Glaim is actually water from the Mayon of Ein Rogel. Ein Rogel was a town on the border of the Binyamin and Yehuda, and it's brought down in Melochim that when Adon Yo was the son of David HaMelech, and he revolted against David HaMelech early on before Avshalom, and he made Karbonus, and he offered that he made Karbonus by this Meira Blind well, Ein Rogel. Why is it called Ein Rogel? Because it was a mayon used by launderers who had a technique of laundering by shifting the clothes in their feet. So it was a laundering mayon, which again makes very nice sense now why Meira Glaim would be used in the preparation of the toast. Again, it was part of this cleaning agent. And it's not allowed to be bought because the association of Meira Glaim, the name, is not fitting in the Beis HaMikdash. So I'd like to thank you, everyone, for giving me the chance to say the Ritzorah. Have a good day. Thank you.